Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast, episode 399. Dang, I can't believe I've done this that many times. I'm Patrick, and today I'm joined by a special guest, someone that I've admired in Warriors fandom for a long time, Dr. Nirav Pandya. From UCSF. He is an associate professor of UCSF's orthopedic surgery, director of sports medicine at the Benioff Children's Hospital, and injury analyst for 95.7 The Game. Whoa, my first celebrity on here. What's up? Welcome.
Thank you for the kind intro. If only my mom could hear that, that would make me sound really important, but I appreciate it.
Yeah. And a couple things, like since I started doing this podcast, you know, like I'm not big on like going on Warriors Twitter for various reasons. But whenever and, you know, a lot of listeners, they know who you are. But for those who don't, whenever someone gets hurt, his Twitter account is the first one I go to, especially if it's somebody on the Warriors, because ostensibly he's watching and he's going to tell everybody what happened, you know. So another thing is, like, I kind of clicked around and I saw that you went to the University of Chicago, which is where I went for college. And then you told me that, you were like a year or so around, like ahead of me or something like that. And that's wild. That's wild to me.
Yeah. It's a small world.
Yeah. I've never really met many hardcore Warriors fans that are also University of Chicago graduates. And so then, and then just before we started recording, I asked if he knew a good friend of mine from high school who is also a physician at UCSF, and he does. So this world gets smaller and smaller. So anyway, thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, I like to ask people when I have them on the show, what your Warriors fandom is like, because, you know, I've seen you and I'm just curious, like, how long you've been a fan, what your when your fandom started, and you know, some of your like your best memory and like your most painful memory, if you can give me those.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So you know, I'm originally from Chicago, so disclaimer, I grew up a Bulls fan. You know, so grew up in Chicago, had the pleasure of seeing Jordan and all those championships, well, you know, kind of while I was growing up. And then after I was done at University of Chicago, finished med school, I went out to Philly for residency, and that was like 5 years of sports and nothing, you know, like I couldn't deal with Philly fans. I just, you know, was busy during residency and then got finished up and moved out to the Bay Area for my job. And I was like, you know, it's been 5-6 years. Let me get into Bay Area sports, because I'm not going to be living here for a long time. And right when I moved out was right when the Warriors were starting to change shape. It was, you know, Monta Ellis was getting traded. This new guy, Steph Curry, that no one wanted because they loved Monta Ellis, was coming on. And I was like, you know, this is interesting. This is a team. They're fun. They're exciting. And then Draymond and Clay. And, you know, at that time, I was like, look, I'm going to be in this area. This team is young. They're energetic. They're playing a certain way. And, you know, my time in the Bay is kind of mirrored that time of that core three. You know, I came out here when they started and I've kind of been there since then. So it's hard to be in the Bay Area and not be a fan of the Warriors, but I kind of feel like as they grew up here, I kind of had my adult growing up. And I think the best memories are just, I think that first championship, because I remember what in Chicago, what it was like when Jordan won that first championship. And I was like, oh, it's great. This team, they're coming together, they're winning. So that championship, going to Oracle, walking through the parking lot and seeing the hot dog vendors, you know, I think that's just, and taking my kids when they were young to those games were just some of the best memories. The most painful memory has to be the year Durant and Clay got hurt. It was just so, you know, it's one thing to lose just because they lost, but to go down with that, those subsequent injuries that year against the Raptors, that's really a painful memory. Cause I think a lot of things could have changed that following year if all those things didn't happen, but just what could have been, I think that's probably one of the more painful memories.
Yeah, that is 100%. I still to this day say Warriors in five if both those guys are healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Were you on social media, like, you know, already kind of giving your analyses almost real time, like at that point, or how did that get started? And when did you start doing that?
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. So I, you know, I had Twitter, I had Instagram. I didn't really know as physicians, we really don't know how to use it. I mean, some people use it to promote their, you know, whatever, I come to my practice and you know, like I'd post pictures of me at a conference or something like that. I just didn't know what to, how to use it. And then funny, when COVID happened and Clay tore his Achilles, you know, there was all this information out there about what does this mean? His career is going to end. And I remember I was like, you know what, let me just post a little 1 minute video about Clay Thompson's Achilles. And the next thing I know, you know, 95.7 The Game's like, why don't you come on and talk about this, this TV station, et cetera. And then I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. And I think a byproduct was just COVID. All our practices got slower. There wasn't much going on. So I'm like, you know what, let me start doing this stuff. This is what I do in the clinic, explain injuries. And it kind of just took off after that. And I enjoy it. You know, I think it's a lot of fans want to know what's going on with these players. What does it mean? What does this term mean? And if I can kind of give that to fans, because my background, it allows them to enjoy their sports, understand what's going on. So it's kind of become this thing where now it's like someone gets injured. I'm like, okay, let me just put a couple, you know, a couple sentences together about what this means. And it's kind of fun because now I can kind of veer into talking about Warriors basketball more than just injuries. And it's kind of feel like I'm a little part of Warriors Twitter. And every now and then I can put a little hot take out there and people will engage. So it's fun.
Yeah, I don't think you're a little part of Warriors Twitter, at least the section that I go to. I mean, do you enjoy Twitter? Like, can I just offhand, like, do you get involved in any of that stuff, or you're just kind of like, you put your stuff out and then you respond to people who, you know, maybe sometimes whatever when you have time, or you just kind of you dodge the other stuff?
Yeah, you know, I do have a tendency to, you know, I feel like I enjoy it more now. I kind of say, look, I'm going to put whatever I want out there. I'll read what's out, you know, kind of stuff that's out there every now and then. I try not to gauge too much in some of the more heated conversations. You know, I try to stay positive. Although I do feel kind of some of the only two negative experiences I've had have been with other fan bases. I had kind of a really horrible experience during the Grizzlies series a couple years ago where people were using some racial slurs to describe me, and pretty bad. But you know, it's Warriors Twitter came to my defense and found out who did it, and you know whatever, he blocked his, you know, came off Twitter and things like that. So you know, it kind of showed the kind of the unity of the community and things like that. So I think you just can't take it too personally. I think a lot of people are passionate about their sports opinions, and some people want to, you know, egg you on. And as someone whose profile is associated as a physician at UCSF, there's a certain amount of professionalism, you know, that I want to keep with my Twitter account, even though I may be thinking something else. I definitely read a lot, but try not to engage too much in some of the comment sections. I'll put it that way.
You are a better man than I in that respect. I read a lot. I don't engage, but I'll take a step back. Getting into the Warriors, because I've also been just curious, because you talk so much whenever I see you in clips online, you know, you're talking from your physician background. And so I'm like, I want to ask this guy about like the team, you know, yes. Just sports in general, and just talk like bar talk or something. But yeah. Just, you know, how are you feeling about this team this season? Are you a Warriors optimist or pessimist? I'm guessing I know which way you lean, so you know, it might be a moot question,
optimist.
But
okay. Yeah, no, definitely an optimist. You know, I was a little concerned with you know, Chris Paul from a chemistry standpoint. You know, I know they're all professionals, but you know, Chris Paul has been kind of, you know, he has a certain reputation around the league for a lot of years. And you know, I think a lot of that kind of seemed to have sputtered out a little bit. It seems like he's willing to come off the bench if needed. And seeing the chemistry, I know it's just a preseason game and we all overreact to preseason games, but seeing what Chris Paul can do in terms of setting up other players, I mean, what he's going to do for Kuminga, what he's going to do for Andrew Wiggins. You know, I think people don't kind of have this tendency to forget about Wiggins, but the fact that Chris Paul can facilitate and create openings and hit that mid-range jumper, as long as everyone gets along and there's not some huge locker room issue that develops, I'm really excited for this team. They seem very locked in right now. They seem focused. And I think they all know that their window is really narrow because they're old. And this could be an opportunity to get that, as they're saying, the one for the thumb to get that fifth championship. So I think we had a good offseason with Clay. Chris Paul seems to be fitting in. You know, Draymond's ankle sprain doesn't seem like a big deal. And honestly, their second unit's going to look good with Kuminga and Moody. You know, some of their new additions and GP2 being healthy, it's going to be exciting. I just think it's hopefully they can keep it together when the playoffs come and they can kind of endure the regular season.
Yeah, I tend to think that they are better I said that last week during the first week of training camp, it was probably the most boring first week of training camp. And I was like, yeah, that's a good thing, you know, because like you said, they're just locked in, a bunch of old heads, and they've been through this like for at least 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 times. So they just want to get down to business. Real quick on the Draymond ankle thing. Is that something that can linger from what you've heard about the nature of it? Or is it something that if they just give it enough rest and time, it shouldn't be another issue unless he really, really lands on it hard again?
Yeah, typically with, you know, ankle sprains, NBA players, based on what was reported out there, this seems like a pretty much a garden variety ankle sprain, maybe a little bit more severe than something that were like, he could happen in the season and come back in a couple of days. The good news is for most of these ankle sprains, for someone who hasn't had multiple ankle issues going back to like Steph Curry's early days, I don't anticipate this being an issue. They're giving him enough time. And typically for someone like him, it shouldn't linger, you know? So I think it's, if there's anything to have going into a season, an ankle sprain is probably the best thing for someone his age. And I don't anticipate it being an issue for him based on what we're seeing and what's being reported.
You know, I have to say, I said this to you before we started recording that, and I got to say this to the listeners and stuff. It's another thing that I enjoy about your posts is that you have the most rapid fire analysis I've ever seen. And it's like, you just, I don't even know how that works. I've watched a couple of things you've done like over and over again. I'm like, are there edits in this? And I don't think you have the time or the care to edit something. So that was like it, because I asked you kind of a medical related question, and you turned into that dude. So that's kind of funny. Where do you see the Warriors in the West? I have my opinions, but like where do you see them landing?
I see them probably 3 or 4 seed. You know, I think they're going to probably, you know, I think Denver is going to play well. Phoenix is going to play well. I think Sacramento's not going to be a fluke. I think Sacramento will be up there. I just think the Warriors are going to be smart, and they're not going to go out and win 55 to 60 games because they're going to be resting players. So I think if they can stay above that 5 seed, be a 3 or 4, then I think they're going to be in the driver's seat. Do they have the capability to be a number one seed? Absolutely. But there's no reason, I think, that they need to go out night in and night out and have their veteran core, which is old, you know, play that many minutes. And I think this will benefit them in the playoffs as well too, because I think a lot of the second unit, the Kamingas, the Moody's, you know, they'll get more minutes as they're resting Chris Paul, you know, resting Klay Thompson, et cetera. So I think it'll be beneficial, but it may mean their regular season record may be not as good as say a Denver or a Phoenix heading into the playoffs.
Right, right. It's always that the goal is to, you know, get the young guys ready, get healthy and peak like they did in 2022. And, you know, a lot of other stuff plays into the fact that they are just better, right? Like they have Gary Payton for a whole year, hopefully Andrew Wiggins for a whole year. And Clay, like you said, he actually played basketball, you know, over the summer. So that's and I understand why he didn't last year. I was fully like empathetic to that, but it's good to see him. And he doesn't have to look over his shoulder, perhaps at a 24-year-old. Jordan Poole. Is there a team that scares you? Is there a team that like you're like, oh, you know, this team, I don't know if the Warriors could beat them?
Yeah, you know, Denver always worries me a little bit, just because of Jokic, like his size, and what he does, and with, you know, Jamal Murray, like I do worry a little bit if they, because they still don't have like a true big, you know, that can, you know, Looney's great, but you know what Jokic can do. So I worry a little bit about Denver, but besides that, I'm not worried about Phoenix. I mean, they've got a collection of talent that can score, but no defense. And then, you know, Sacramento, I think Sacramento was set up ideally to beat our team last year. But I think this year with the veteran presence and just even the addition of Chris Paul, I just don't think Mike Brown can outcoach all those veterans that are out there. So besides Denver, nothing, no one else really scares me in our conference. And the East, I mean, you always worry about Boston. You know, you always worry about the Miamis, but, yeah, I'm not too super worried about Milwaukee either. I love Dame. Obviously, he's from the area. But I just think that he doesn't play defense. And defense wins in the playoffs. And I think that's going to be the issue. Yeah.
Do you think Boston really is that good? Do you think Jason Tatum is that guy?
I think he's a great regular season player, but can't do it in the playoffs. You know, and I think and you know, who knows how the whole Jaylen Brown being the highest paid player, I know Tatum's going to get his money too, but how that dynamic's going to play out in the locker room. And they look great in the regular season, but they have a tendency to sputter in the playoffs. But I think in the East, besides Milwaukee, they're probably the best team. So I think they'll be the Eastern Conference, either Milwaukee or Boston will be the Eastern Conference, you know, finalist in NBA Finals. But yeah, I just don't think he's that guy. He can score, but can't put it together for a series. Yeah.
I didn't think he was that guy. I still don't. That was a leading question. Let's see if you're big enough to get aggregated. No, just kidding.
Yeah, we'll see.
He hasn't proven it, right? And yeah, he can drop 50 in the conference finals, but like when he just got owned by Draymond and the Warriors in that finals series, it proved everything I thought about him. But he's like what, 25? So you know,
yeah,
maybe
a lot ahead of him. Yeah.
What is, in your opinion, like outside of health, right? Like, because you look at the West and a lot of the teams, except for the Kings and the Nuggets, they've got a lot of old heads on their team, right? Like, you know, Durant, and LeBron, Kawhi, whatever. What do you think is, what or who do you think is the biggest like X factor for the Warriors this season? Like reasonable health, you know, take that into account. Like, what do you think could make or break it, or who could make or break it for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think besides the obvious of how Chris Paul integrates in, right, it's gonna be Kuminga. You know, I think Kuminga is this X factor that can totally take them over the top. He can play defense. He gives them that energy and speed that an older team doesn't have. I mean, Moody plays like a 35-year-old, you know, like he plays like a veteran, you know, like he's great, but that's, you know, like, but Kuminga has that explosiveness, that ability to really change games. And I think if we go up against a team like, kind of like how Sacramento did expose us a little bit, that runs up and down, is playing very athletic, we're going to need someone like Kuminga. I mean, our additions are older, you know, like we do have some rookies, but, you know, Rudy Gay, you know, Sarge, like they're older players. So Kuminga gives us that ability, that athletic wing that can really keep up with everyone. So I think if Kuminga makes that leap, which I think he did last year, even though a lot of people were wondering what was wrong. I mean, God, he's like only 21. Like, you know, 20 years ago, you didn't expect a 21-year-old to even sniff the NBA. So I think that if Kuminga makes that leap and can lead that second unit and sometimes start and you know, in certain lineups, I think that's really going to be the key, because we know what we're going to expect from everyone else. But Kuminga is really unique in terms of what he brings to the team.
I'm on record. Like after he got drafted, I was like, that's going to be the best dude on this team in 4 years. May not be the best dude, but yeah. I would say he could still be top three, depending on how everybody ages out. In terms of the core, who are you most concerned about? Because, you know, I look at them, obviously I'm not a physician, but like Clay's had a couple serious leg injuries. Steph has those problems and he has a shoulder and he just, you know, as bulky as he's gotten, he still takes a lot of contact in the knee. Draymond has he's had little injuries like this ankle, but he's never had anything major. Who in general, like, would you be most, obviously if Steph goes out for longer, he's the most valuable person, but like in terms of the potential for them getting hurt, are they all kind of even across the board in your mind? Or is there somebody that you're like, they should play him less?
You know, I think everyone would say, oh, maybe that's Chris Paul. And, you know, I think I'm not as concerned about Chris Paul, because, you know, what usually happens to Chris Paul is that he plays a whole bunch of minutes and then he gets some like soft tissue injury that keeps him out. But he's never had like a big major injury. Like, I think you can manage Chris Paul in terms of minutes and, you know, how he plays. It'll be asked to do less. I worry the most about Draymond, not because of his ankle, but because of the way he plays. He needs to play physical. He needs to run the ball up and down. He needs to, you know, he's opposing the best, you know, the best player usually on the other team. And that's a lot on his body, especially because he's a smaller size. You know, he's got that Charles Barkley, plays bigger than what he actually is. And that's going to take a pounding. If he's injured, he can't be effective. Clay can still shoot. Steph can change his game to shoot. Chris Paul can distribute it. But Draymond's banged up. It's hard for him to be good at what he does. So Draymond's probably my biggest concern, not because of anything specifically, but he's older and he depends on his physicality. And if that gets compromised with an injury, then that could be a problem.
Yeah, I'm pretty stunned that he hasn't had like a chronic back injury. I know it's bugged him. He had that calf thing a couple seasons ago when they won the title. Or was it calf to his back? I don't know, it's all connected, right? But you know, he's pretty sturdy for how long he's been in the league. So I mean, if you're Celebrini, you know, just to get back to a health question, like what would be the biggest challenge for this team? Keeping them healthy with the new rest rules, all that stuff.
I think it's going to, a lot of it's going to be just managing their minutes. And I think a lot of it is you've got guys who are great players, and they're going to be nights when obviously you give them a night off. That's not going to be an issue, but it's going to be Clay's doing well and he's going, you know, hit 10 threes and you got to sit the fourth quarter, or, you know, this it's going to be kind of calming them down because they want to compete. I think that's going to be the hardest thing. So I think a lot, you know, with what we in general do for players, you kind of map out their season and say, here, these are the ground rules for what we're going to expect throughout the season. We're going to change it based on how you're feeling. So at least they know that, hey, you hit this certain number of minutes or, you know, this many games back to back to back or something like that, you're going to be sitting out. And I think that's, you know, where you really have to be careful. And I think it's not as much of an issue for Steph or Draymond, but I think Clay, particularly with this renewed intensity, he seems very locked in. There's this new contract coming. Will he be the type of person who's going to want to push his body because he's so locked in? And I think he, of all the players, is the one that you're going to have to, you know, maybe rein back a little bit and be like, look, you're only playing 20 minutes tonight. I know you really want to play. So I think Clay, of all the people, is the one that I worry about who's going to have the toughest time getting reined in just because of the way he is. He likes to play basketball. You know, that's who he is. And he's definitely locked in, and I'm pretty sure probably excited for what this season can bring.
You think the Warriors win it this year?
Yeah, it's a hot take. No, I will. I think they can win it. Yes, I will say that.
Yeah.
Seeing the I know it's a preseason game, but I actually think everyone's like Chris Paul. People forget. I'll take a step back. Chris Paul is one of the best point guards in NBA history. As Warriors fans, we just have a tendency not to like him, but we forget that. No, he's really good. And you add him in, and he doesn't have to do everything he needs to do, and has all these players around him, it could be pretty phenomenal. And so I think that that addition, and also with you know, with that second unit, I think they can win it if they stay healthy. That's going to be the key thing.
What were some positives of that first game? And they're playing the Lakers again on Friday. What kind of stuff are you looking for?
You know, I think it was the ball distribution. I think that was the key thing, was that you could see how Chris Paul could distribute and open it up for Clay, open it up for Steph. And, you know, seeing him, you know, do things like lobbying to Kuminga, like his ability to distribute, not worry about scoring is great. And that mid-range jumper, we just haven't had someone who could hit that shot since Sean Livingston retired. And that opens up a whole bunch of different things in terms of offense, in terms of, you know, here's Chris Paul. He's at the mid-range. Can he, you know, pass it out to Steph or Clay? Or is he going to dump it in to GP2 or Looney when they're kind of at that dunker spot? So I think it was just great seeing them all work together and seeing them, the chemistry. You know, I know it's just one game, and I think that's the most exciting thing. I think the team was disjointed last year, and, you know, multiple reasons. You know, obviously the Jordan Poole situation. It seems like they're on the same page right now, and if they continue with that, the team just has the experience to know how to navigate past anything.
Do you think they need a big, like a legit, like bulky 6'11", seven footer? Did you want Dwight Howard?
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted someone like Dwight Howard, not necessarily Dwight Howard. I mean, that's the argument at every trade deadline in Warriors Twitter over the past like 5 years. Where's the big? Where's the big? What's Bob Myers doing? Where's the big? And first of all, there aren't any real bigs out there, you know? So I think, yes, Orlando Dwight Howard would have been great. But no, I think, you know, 38 or 37-year-old Dwight Howard, not an issue. So I think, you know, I think they don't necessarily need a big. I think there are series or certain matchups, you know, the Anthony Davis, the Jokic's, where you'll have to scheme to cover them. But to carry someone on for the rest of the season, I don't think they need a big. I think they have everyone on their team that they need. Now it's just a matter of putting it all together.
Awesome. Well, you heard it here first. Thank you, Dr. Nirav Pandya, for coming on. I would love to have you back on at some point in the season once it gets going, and you're either like full of elation or like, oh man, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, exactly. It's only going to be extremes for the Warriors season. So yes, absolutely. One of the two will probably happen.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on, my man.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com, and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.